You're listening to Fake Believe, the podcast that gets some things right about conspiracies, cults, and cryptids.
Hi, welcome to Fake Believe. I'm Stacy, and I have a face for podcasting and a voice for print.
And I'm Rachel, and I had candy corns for lunch today, and I regret it.
It's part of a complete breakfast.
It is, right? Well, and that's the problem is I had it for lunch.
Oh,
so candy corns are a breakfast food.
Yeah. Well, I remember in Elf, he goes, oh, it's part of the four food groups, candy cane, candy corn, and syrup. And I'm like, why is candy corn in there? You're a Christmas elf.
But candy corn is maybe the sweetest candy in like the whole world. Sweet, literally sweet, not like 90s yeah. skater sweet.
I mean, I would think that you would speak as a 90s skater, but I do see what you mean in the context.
Yes. I mean, I totally was a 90s poser skater. So.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. I couldn't actually ride a skateboard without serious injury, but I would dress like a skater. So, and I was accepted into the skating community, and I would say things like, skateboarding is not a crime. Except when I did it, it was like criminally offensive because I'm so bad at it.
Oh, I love it. So you were a skater boy and they said, see you later, boy.
Well, I wasn't good enough for the sport.
Ah, she wasn't good enough for the sport.
Let me just rail against that song real quick. Okay, Avril. He was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it any more obvious? Try to make it a little more obvious. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, hello, heteronormativity. Jesus Christ. Anyways.
Oh, fair enough. But we're not here to talk about skater boys, Avril Lavigne, or heteronormativity anymore.
Oh, is that segment over?
Yeah, we're done with that. We're moving on. today, we're going to talk about some things you'll find in the sky. Walking under a dark sky cloaked with clouds, you feel the wind pick up. The sound of thunder booms, or at least it sounds like thunder. Lightning flashes above you, and as you jerk your head up to the sky, you see it. Its wingspan must be 15 feet. With every flap of its wings, thunder echoes. And is that lightning coming from its eyes? The smell of rain snaps you back to reality. You have just encountered the legendary Thunderbird.
From his eyeballs?
Yes, some of them did say that. Yeah, it's, I guess, there. So, yeah, some of them, it said eyes, and I thought some said beak. I originally wrote it as beak, and then I saw something else that said eyes, and I was like, that sounds way cooler for an intro. So,
yeah, the word beak, while adorable, isn't really powerful.
Yeah, as you know, coming from its beak. No, it came from its eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked about Black Eyed Kids and how creepy that was. So,
ew, imagine if Black Eyed Kids also shot lightning out of their eyes.
Oh my God. Don't like it. No, thank you. I'll pass. As scary as a Thunderbird may sound if you ignore its affiliation with the car, it's not inherently evil.
Oh, good. Unlike the car.
Yeah, that is, you know, causing global warming and poor emissions and whatnot. And I kept thinking of, like, the T-Birds, like, you know, Grease Lightning and all of that.
But and how much fun that. We're going to have until Daddy takes the T-Bird away.
Right, but that's not what we're talking about. We are, in fact, talking about a bird that brings thunder. Or it makes sounds like thunder.
Do you know, honestly, I had never heard of this cryptid before you brought it up. So right. I'm excited to learn about it.
Oh, it's so cool. I mean, you know, I am very, very interested in a lot of, you know, cryptids and folklore and stuff like that. So
Are you?
I did come across this one. I know if you hadn't heard about that. But, you know, this is something that, like, as even a kid, like, I love, like, listening to stories about things like this. It took me a while to get into aliens because they really did scare me. But, you know, other cryptids and stuff like that, I did think it was really cool. Like, I remember even having a book about, like, dragons as a kid and, like, where you would find them and, like as if they were real dragons just, like, popping up all the time and how you would study them. So, like, this has been something that's always kind of, you know, been on my radar, these types of things, but I have heard it in other podcasts before, and I was like, that is so cool. We should totally, like, talk about
Thunderbirds.
Talk about Thunderbirds. Oh, my God. I don't know why I go into, like, a Valley Girl whenever I have an idea for a podcast episode, but it's just what happens. It's not evil. Some even say that the Thunderbird is a source of protection and may even bring good fortune. Oh. But let's break this down first. Okay. The legend of the Thunderbird originates from Native American and First Nation folklore. This is where it all starts, and I'll show you where we end up with it today. Because that's where it kind of goes into more of the cryptozoology side and the more modern side, whereas where it originated is more legendary, which is so cool. Thunderbirds are to be both feared and respected.
Better both than one or the other.
It's like in The Office where it's like, would I rather be loved or feared? Easy. Both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me. This is another butchered bit brought to you by Stacey.
Butchered bit.
Oh, now we have a little jingle for it now. Yes. I do these all the time, you guys. This is why you tune in. Also for my Valley Girl voice that I keep slipping into today for some reason. I don't know why.
Because you're so excited.
I'm just so excited. This all makes too much sense. So before we continue, please keep in mind that these legends have been passed down orally throughout many different tribes. Each tribe has their own spin on the Thunderbird, and I'm going to do my best to describe the legend faithfully and completely. So this is all with respect. Once again, because I'm not part of this community, I don't have firsthand accounts, interpretations. So unfortunately, I'm limited on what Google can tell me. But I did also, I watched a couple of documentaries and whatnot where people who are either of Native American or First Nation descent that have talked about this. So I definitely encourage you to check these out. They will be in the show notes. And it's just, it's really cool. So I'm doing my best. Some things might get muddled. I do apologize up front for that. But it's always great to learn about other cultures and just see what we can learn from them. So
yeah.
Don't take everything I say as fact.
In this episode only.
Just in the sense of the attributes to which tribe. Everything else I am an expert on, and you can believe me.
Yes.
You'll see this come into play very quickly, because I'm about to start saying the names of tribes. I swear, I looked up how to say them, and I got conflicting accounts on how to say some of these. Yeah. So I am very sorry for pronunciations. I'm doing the best that I can. Feel free to correct me. I will gladly, if we ever talk about these tribes again and I'm corrected on how to say it, I will gladly say it correctly next time. But for right now, tribes like the Algonquin, Menominee, and Ojibwe, some have said Chipwe is how you're supposed to say it, but I'm going to go with Ojibwe because that's the one I heard most often, believe that Thunderbirds protect humans from underwater spirits like the great horned serpent or underwater panther, guardians of the underworld.
Oh my God. An underwater panther sounds so cute. Oh, hey, wait. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Panther.
Panther who?
Panther, no panther. I'm going swimming.
Oh, we're swimming. I'm a panther. I love
that. I'm a sneaky panther.
I'm a sneaky panther. I'm going to go swimming. Sneaky. You don't expect to see me here. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so these creatures are said to be guardians of the underworld, and the Thunderbirds are the ones that would, like, fight them. So, super cool.
Yeah, love but then that. I don't know whose side I'm on.
Well, okay, so they fight, but I don't think they, like, I don't even think they can kill each other. I think it's just okay. Like, oh, you stop it. It's like the, in my interpretation at least, you know, as a white person.
Right.
It's like the equivalent of, like, spraying him with a spray bottle, but, like, with lightning.
It's, like, individual battles for, like, whatever thing. So they're not fighting to the death, but it's, like.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Because, like, they're still there.
Yeah, I'd pick my favorite based on, like, whatever the fight was about.
Right. And at this point, I think we would pick the Thunderbirds because they're protecting us, because the other side wants to, like, eat us or drag us to the underworld. So, like.
I'm not opposed to that at this point, though, so.
Oh, okay. let's make a note of that. We're therapy, our group therapy that we get to.
get on board of the nihilism train, because
that's fine, I guess. But then I won't be able to have any more episodes if I go to the underworld, because it's really hard to publish episodes there. The Wi-Fi is terrible.
I guess the water does mess with your equipment, whereas lightning is like electric.
Yeah, it makes it better. It enhances it.
Okay, Team Thunderbird. All right. Sorry.
Just for now.
Go ahead.
It's okay. The Algonquin legend asserts that Thunderbirds helped create the universe and share an ancestry with humans.
Mm.
The Menominee believe that they are messengers of the great sun, and they delight in good deeds. So, like, it's like, oh my God, look at you. You're doing so well. What a good deed. Good
and job. You're delighting in it.
Yeah. Aww. I love this. I love that for you. I love this journey for you. On the other hand, the Ojibwe believe that they were created by a high spirit called Nanabozo and are responsible for punishing those who break moral rules.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's why they're so into the good deeds, because they're like, thank God I don't have to punish you.
It's so much more delightful not to have to strike you with lightning.
I know. I'm just so over it. Guys, can you not?
But I like that it's more about, like, morality than specific codes of conduct. I like that there's kind of, you know, like, wiggle room there.
Right. It's kind of like something that we've seen, like, a lot, like with the Wendigo, also a Native American folklore, you know, cannibalism, that's bad, but also just like the virtues of being prepared and pulling your weight and making sure that you're helping the community and helping everybody and not just thinking about yourself. Same thing here with the Thunderbird, you know, depending on what tribe is telling what story, you know, the virtue could be a number of things. And, you know, it's, I don't know, just like the thought of, like, a Thunderbird, like this godlike creature just in the sky looking over at us doing something good and being like, I'm proud of you. It just gives me hope. Like, it's just like a nice feeling. I don't know. Other abilities of the Thunderbird are included in different legends. For example, the Winnebago believe that the Thunderbird can give people great abilities. I know I said Winnebago, and I know I said Thunderbird. I am not talking about cars at all.
But this is just another instance of white people totally taking words and terminology and, like, not even mentioning where they came from. I never even thought where a Winnebago might have come from.
Right. I saw that. And then it's funny, too, because I thought back to our Wendigo episode. We're like, oh, is this like a Winnebago? I'm like, oh, my gosh. I wonder if the Winnebago did talk about the Wendigo.
Okay.
It's okay. We're learning. We're ignorant, but we're learning.
Every day.
It's our job. It's our job to educate ourselves. So that's what we're doing. With the, you know, great abilities that can be given, if a man is fasting and has a vision of a Thunderbird, it is said that he will become a war chief.
Hmm.
So that's like one of the, yeah, I guess, abilities or great things that could happen just by having a vision of the Thunderbird. For tribes like the Shawnee, it was believed that the Thunderbirds could shapeshift and interact with people. Oh. Maybe to tell them that they're doing a good job.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. Yeah. Bird shapeshifts into an otter. Or would it be... I know. And then just like hands you over his little... his special urchin. Yeah. Or a special rock, I suppose, would be even better than the urchin.
Oh, my God. I love that for us. I definitely stole that one. That's not one of my catchphrases. So actually, instead of an otter, oftentimes they would appear as like as boys. So like a young boy or something. Hmm. They're pretty easy to identify on account of their tendency to speak backward.
Oh.
So they'd just be talking and they'd be like, I'm sorry, what? Oh, my bad. Flies off.
Oh my gosh, what if Missy Elliott is a Thunderbird?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
She seems like somebody who delights in the good deeds of others.
Yeah, I also think that she would punish immorality, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she would. Yeah. Yay, Missy!
Okay, new conspiracy. You heard it here first, folks. Another legend describes an entire village being turned to stone by the Thunderbird due to their immoral actions. Didn't see exactly which actions, as far as their diet goes. Legend says that Thunderbirds like to hunt and eat killer whales.
No!
Yeah. I mean, we do know that there are some birds that like to eat fish, but like, damn. This is a biggins.
Killer whales eat seals, though, right?
Yeah, apparently, like, orcas / killer whales, they're like assholes of the sea. Like, they'll straight up, like, they scare and intimidate sharks. They'll, like, psychologically torture other animals. They'll straight up, like, kick them out of the sea just for fun. Like, how far can I yeet this bitch? Like, bye, seal! And then, they'll, like, play with their food. Like, they're, like, not nice. So, not saying that they deserve this. I'm just saying that they are part of the food chain.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that are part of the food chain that I adore. So, there's also a lot of assholes, apparently.
Orcas, the assholes of the sea.
Yes. There's, like, this TikTok account, and I love this guy, and he always talks about, like, he's got, like, these animal facts, and they're hilarious, and he loves talking about killer whales and, like, talking about them in a way where he's, like, like just railing on them. Like, you fucking suck.
Wait, is he the guy who kind of talks a little bit fast and then has, like, funny names for a lot of the animals?
Okay. Yes, he's got his little microphone that he holds.
I love him. His was, the first TikTok account I followed and liked. I was like, this guy knows a lot about animals, and plus he defends pit bulls a lot. So.
Yeah. Everyone should follow him. He's a doll. Anyway. They have the ability to lift the whales from the ocean with their talons and fly them back to their cave in the mountains. Like that's huge. Oh my God. Imagine how big of a bird that has to be.
And imagine how confusing that would be for an orca who's just like, uh-oh, just gonna go yeet this seal. Yeet. Oh, what the fuck? What is this? Whoa.
The yeeter has become the yeeted. I wonder if it's like, as it's like soaring through the air, like, I'm sorry, I promise I'll never do it again. Just please. Please put me back. So I was unable to find the primary tribe from which this particular legend originated, but there was a time in which the Thunderbird and the killer whale had it out on land. Like, they duped it out.
Is this back when whales had legs?
No. Oh. No, it's like, from what I could gather, again, I'm making assumptions, so this isn't necessarily what has been said, but how I kind of pictured it was that, like, the Thunderbird picked up the whale and, like, dropped it on land. Mm-hmm. And then the whale started fighting back while it was on the land.
Okay.
So, however it happened, not sure. But the battle caused nearby trees to be uprooted, which is why some coastal regions of the Pacific Northwest have prairies without trees.
Oh, because of the great whale Thunderbird battle.
Yes. I'm really a fan of legends that, like, explain the world around us. That that always, like, brings me joy. I don't want to hear what Precious Science has to say about it.
No.
I want to hear the truth that a Thunderbird dropped a whale.
Yeah, exactly.
The Thunderbird has been depicted in a number of Native American and First Nation symbols, jewelry, totem poles, carvings, and masks. For the Squamish tribes, the Thunderbird has three tail feathers, which represent the past, present, and future. Typically, though, they are identifiable as the X-shaped bird. Now, it's kind of hard to explain or to describe, but I'm going to send this to you, Rachel, and we'll definitely put it on our Instagram for everyone to see.
Ha ha. I get to see it right away. Ha ha. That is beautiful.
Yes. You could see some more of, like, the crude drawings, and it feels, like, familiar, like we've seen it before, but the top of the X is wider than the bottom, and that represents the wingspan.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom part is the tail, and the feet are shown horizontally in the middle, where it crosses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the head of the Thunderbird is drawn at the top, and it's usually looking to the side. The one that I am sharing, it's got a lot of detail to it, and it's very pretty.
Yeah, and it's got a lot of strength, like a feeling of strength with it, but also a feeling of, like, being delicate as well. I don't know, it's really cool. I like it a lot.
Well, yeah, the Thunderbird does represent strength for most. So that's they did a good job. So, now that we know more about the legend of the Thunderbird, what about sightings today? Aside from legend, there have been some significant claims that the Thunderbird exists in more recent history. Typically, these birds are found in wooded areas, and it's rare that another witness is nearby, as it always seems to happen.
Typical cryptid behavior.
Yes. For some reason, quite a few sightings have been reported in Pennsylvania. Not sure why, but an account written by a Pennsylvania man named Grant Lawrence goes as such. Bird was an extraordinary large... Yeah, it's supposed to be extraordinarily large bird that looked as big as an airplane. Its wingspan looked 2 to 3 times bigger than that of a bald eagle. When you're looking in the sky, it is very difficult to say for certain how large an object is or how high up it is. But I can say with certainty that this bird was fantastically large. The great bird was all black, and it didn't have a pterodactyl or prehistoric appearance. It was just a massive bird that was headed west, gliding effortlessly into a storm while barely moving its wings.
Okay, but still 2 to 3 times bald eagle size does not merit orca elevation.
Yeah, well, maybe they're smaller now, Rachel. I don't know.
Maybe it's a baby.
Oh, it's a little baby. It's a little baby Thunderbird. It's also proud of you for your good deeds. Oh. So this is how a lot of people have described this bird, and you know, it's just this really big bird. But some other people have also said that it looks like a pterodactyl, which is why he specifically said, like, it doesn't look like a pterodactyl. It looks like a big-ass bird.
I thought it was, like, to counteract that, well, maybe it's just a pterodactyl argument. So I was like, no, it's not a pterodactyl.
One, they're extinct. Two.
Do you know why you can never hear pterodactyls go to the bathroom?
Gee, why?
Because the pee is silent.
I didn't see that one coming. I almost ruined it, and I was like, no, just let her have it. Like, she did so well with the Panther knock knock joke. But, so, you know, where the, a lot of people do think that, Thunderbirds are like pterodactyls that have survived extinction, similar to the, Nessie theories.
Uh huh.
You know?
Yeah.
But precious scientists will claim that people are actually just seeing turkey vultures, but I don't buy it. I'm sure you're shocked that I have not sided with precious science.
I am not shocked, actually.
Oh.
Because you have a good head on your shoulders.
That's very true.
Yeah. Unlike turkey vultures, which are not beautiful. So,
no, they are some big ass birds, but they're not beautiful big ass. No, actually, no. All birds are beautiful.
Well, okay. And also, though, like, if you could only pick one bird that wouldn't delight in good deeds, I'd be like, turkey vulture.
Fair enough. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'd be like, oh, I'm so happy that this person is dead so I can eat him.
Yeah. And they'd be like, I have the perfect lunch for you. And then they would drop a huge bag of candy corns in your lap. And they're like, just eat this one. See, they delight in bad decisions.
Yes, they do. That makes a lot of sense, especially for why I saw a turkey vulture carrying a bag of candy corns. I was really confused, but now this all just makes too much sense.
Right. See?
I'm going to tell you another story, and we'll see exactly why I don't side with precious science.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. It was a warm July night in 1977, Lawndale, Illinois. 10-year-old Marlon Lowe was playing outside with his friends. His mother, Ruth, was cleaning up after dinner when suddenly she heard the terrifying and familiar screams of her son. Rushing outside, she was enveloped with the shadow of something large. Her eyes adjusted and saw a large bird descending upon her son's shoulders. The bird's talons gripped the boy's shirt and lifted all 56 pounds of him 2 feet off the ground. Ruth's motherly instincts kicked in, and she sprinted towards her son. Swinging at the bird, Ruth managed to cause the creature to drop her son. Despite the witnesses around, Ruth and Marlon were not taken seriously. In fact, people started calling poor Marlon Bird Boy, and their house was often pelted with dead pigeons.
Oh my god! Where were people finding enough dead pigeons to often pelt the house with?
I'm not asking anybody those questions. I don't want to know.
Maybe the Thunderbird mistook the kid for an orca, which would be a whale of a mistake.
I see what you did there. According to BirdGap, the largest recorded and verified weight lifted by any bird was 15 pounds.
Oh.
How could this boy have been lifted by any known bird, precious science? He couldn't have. So it must have been a Thunderbird.
Yes, clearly. Check. Moving on.
Proved.
That one's proven.
Done. Just wiping off my hands. But yeah, like that's the really like bummer of a story that like he was traumatized by this bird and then everybody started calling him Bird Boy.
I know. What is wrong with us as a species?
I don't know. Like the police were like laughing them out of the like station or like off the call or whatever. Again, conflicting accounts on whether or not they went into the station, but there were definitely police that were there and they were like, yeah, please. But yeah, it's just like, gosh, nobody believed her, but I'm like, why would you make that up? And I mean, what sucks though is that the witnesses were mostly kids, so like nobody's gonna take that account seriously either.
Yeah.
But again, I'm pretty sure at least this kid was attacked by a bird. If, you know, if you don't subscribe to the whole, like, Thunderbird lifted him 2 feet off the ground account, I mean, I'm sure you would believe that a that some poor kid was attacked by a bird, and that's not okay to call him Bird Boy after that or throw dead pigeons at his house.
No.
Gosh.
What happened to Bird Boy? I mean, to Grant after that.
What did you call him?
Isn't his name Grant?
No.
Who's Grant?
I don't know. His name's Marlin.
Marlin. Marlin is a fish that's probably hunted by birds. So the bird didn't think he was a whale. He thought he
but
got
his spelled
name
like
mixed
that.
Up.
It's not spelled like that. That poor bird couldn't read. Oh, I don't know where Grant came
that
from.
That was,
though.
I think, the dude from Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I have that in here somewhere, but I don't know where. Yeah, that was from Pennsylvania.
Okay. And Marlin is in Illinois.
Yes.
Or it was when this happened.
Marlin Lowe and Ruth Lowe.
Okay.
From Illinois. Mm. So, yeah, that's their story. That's why I don't buy the fact that it would be a turkey vulture, because they don't, like, they don't weigh that much, and they can't pick up that much.
Mm-mm.
So, debunked Thunderbird.
Psh, done. Next.
Okay. Now we're going to talk about one of the most famous sightings of the Thunderbird, which is the Tombstone Thunderbird. And that was found in 1890. It feels so weird. I want to say 1980, but it's not. It was way further back.
Yeah.
And when I say tombstone, I'm not talking about, like, a grave or anything. It's Tombstone, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
According to an article published in the Tombstone Epitaph, the two ranchers were riding on horseback when they encountered a large creature in the sky. It was described as, quote, a winged monster resembling a huge alligator with an extremely elongated tail and an immense pair of wings. And it was evidently exhausted when the ranchers found it. So I wonder, like, did Jake the Alligator Man grow wings?
Maybe. Or maybe he was getting a ride.
Yeah. He's getting a ride on a Thunderbird.
Yeah.
He's like, ah! Of course, these cowboys chased it for miles until they could get a close enough shot and shot it with their
the
rifles.
Fuck?
I know. I don't get it. Why are they to be like that? They're just really excited. In a bad way. The wounded creature turned to attack, but its exhaustion and injuries kept it from successfully evading the men. After a few more shots, the creature fell to the ground, dead. As they examined the creature, the article reported this description. It measured about 92 feet in length, and the greatest diameter was about 50 inches. The monster had only 2 feet, those being situated in a short distance in front of where the wings were joined at the body. The head, as near as they could judge, was about 8 feet long, the jaws being thickly set with strong, sharp teeth. Its eyes were as large as a dinner plate and protruded about halfway from the head. They had some difficulty in measuring the wings as they were partly folded under the body, but finally got one straightened out sufficiently to get a measurement of 78 feet, making the total length from tip to tip about 160 feet.
Holy shit.
The wings were composed of a thick and nearly transparent membrane and were devoid of feathers or hair, as was the entire body. The skin of the body was comparatively smooth and easily penetrated by a bullet.
Weird. Oh, it's like a weird jello mold.
So we're kind of getting back into like a pterodactyl
right
description.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this was way before the other accounts that I had mentioned, but
It wasn't like pterodactyl times before.
Right. So what I'm saying is, like, that's why now sometimes people think of the Thunderbird of looking like a pterodactyl and whatnot. So depending on the sightings and whatever you think, you know, it could be this assertion is that they shot down a Thunderbird and the Thunderbird looks like a pterodactyl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With this story, there is an alleged photograph of the original ranchers, plus more cowboys standing with the creature holding out its wings. So they had to recruit some friends to take a picture of how big this sucker is. If this picture exists, it was not published in the paper at the time because a copy of the article resides in the Library of Congress and it doesn't have the picture in it. So if this picture is real, where is it? I have it. I'll post it.
Oh, cool. Yay.
Or at least I'll post the picture that is associated with the incident. But unfortunately, I have to say, it looks a little bit doctored.
What?
So, Neutral, if you want to go back and look at it.
Who would do something like that, though?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell,
goodness.
If you look close.
There's also a very adorable dog in this picture.
Yeah, it looks like they're making the dog smile.
Is that the part that you think is doctored?
No, it's the dog next to it. I think they just wanted more dogs in the picture, and that one's kind of hard to see, and I'm like,
so they just put him in.
They didn't want you to be that scared. They had to wear dogs, but yeah.
It's a little sus. It's a little sus. I'll give you that.
Do you want to take a stab at describing it?
Yeah, so it is several men clearly named Judd. Standing, there's six of them standing behind a huge pterodactyl. It's about three men per wing, and then there's four men sitting below, also named Judd. And one is like, he's got his hands on his dog's face, like making him face the camera or something. And then I know I'm supposed to be describing the Thunderbird, but then there's also this dog next to in the front row who's like refusing to look at the camera. Nobody looks like super duper excited about this, which I think is a shame.
Well, also you have to remember at that time it took forever for them to actually take a picture.
That's
so they
true.
Wouldn't like smile or anything. They're probably just trying to make sure that they don't ruin the picture.
Yeah, and also, so the pterodactyl head is being held by Judd number four, and it's like...
The middle Judd.
The middle Judd, only he's holding it from the top, like the top of its beak, which I don't think he would have enough grip strength to do that. Like, I think that he, if it were real, he would be cupping its chin underneath, you know, like a cupping
yeah.
motion.
He also has his other hand on the back of the head. As if that makes it better.
Yeah. So
like to hold it up like a puppet, like
yeah, no, this doesn't it doesn't quite make sense.
Yeah. So also, it looks way too good for a photo taken in the 1890s.
Right.
But you know, that's why I think it might be a little doctored. They might have touched it up a little bit.
Yeah. Right. Of course. Or I mean, could be time travelers.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Time travelers that took back a really shitty camera.
You're right. You're like, whoops.
Many people swear they remember seeing the photo in some sort of magazine once. The whole thing can be categorized as a Mandela effect, actually, as there are a number of people that have recognized this photo as being in their memory, but they cannot actually find the magazine or the original photo everywhere. So, like, not everybody is necessarily saying that this picture that we're posting and that we're talking about is the picture. They're like, no, it didn't look like that. That's obviously fake. But there was one where they were holding the Thunderbird and did it. And they're like, they swear, and there have been people that have, like, searched so many archives, and they're like, maybe it's just in somebody's, like, basement collecting dust somewhere. Like, somebody has to have this picture. They really believe that this picture exists because they feel like they've actually seen it. So this is kind of like a cool crossover with the Mandela effect coming into play. But did this photo ever actually exist? No one can say for sure, but... There's definitely nothing to prove or disprove the original story.
And therefore.
Yeah. So it counts. Okay. It was a Thunderbird setting. There was also some stuff I'd seen in an article that was talking about how, like, the town of Tombstone was, like, needed some money and maybe they kind of made it up. But then some people were like, well, even if they did, it's not like it could go viral. or anything. It's right, the 1890s, back in the 1890s. So, like, if people were coming to see this legendary bird, like, why would they, like, pay them to see it? Like, I don't know. Like, people probably wouldn't make the journey over there to go see something that's already dead and that, you know. So, it's whatever you want. Is what I'm saying here. Thunderbirds have a rich and interesting history. From Native American First Nation lore to unexplainable bird-related phenomena, they've inspired many people. Maybe they're bringing a much-needed rain during a drought, or maybe they're bringing a sensationalized story to an impoverished town in Arizona. It doesn't matter if they could be explained as a bird that we've already categorized. Their legend echoes throughout history, like their wings echo the thunder. On that note, if there's a thunderbird, does that mean that there is a lightning bird? Well, Rachel, do you know?
I do know. Yeah, Stacey, there is a lightning bird.
Okay, good. Episode over. Thank you, everybody.
No, wait, I want to tell you about the lightning bird. Well, a note to our listeners, and you too, Stacey. Many languages in Southern Africa, which is what I'm going to be talking about, are click languages, meaning among their alphabet are distinct clicking sounds. So I did look up what the individual symbols mean, and I'm putting in a good faith effort to reproduce the sounds accurately. But you guys know me, and you know my ability to do accents. So if you're curious about click consonants and their pronunciations, I will include a link to that in the show notes. So that's my caveat
and
as well.
We do appreciate everybody being nice, and you're definitely allowed to correct us, but please don't be mean. We're really trying, and we promise that if we ever are corrected on something, we will correct ourselves.
Yes, for sure. So I'm going to tell you about a legend from Southern Africa. One day, Kagara goes to pick up his younger sister from her husband, Haunu, to take her back to her parents. She, notably not given a name, is carrying a bunch of stuff from her house. But Kagara wants her to hurry up, so he pushes her along. In the process, he jostles all the stuff she's carrying, and Haunu gets pissed. Like in Buffy season 4, episode 1, when the campus vampires have stolen all her stuff and they break her class protector umbrella. Here, Haunu's nose starts to bleed. It's lightning time. Haunu, in some tellings of the story, he used to be a bird but was turned into a man, throws a lightning bolt at Kagara. Kagara dodges. The two then begin an epic battle of lightning until Kagara realizes he has no choice. He must use black lightning, the lightning of death. The black lightning picks Haunu up and throws him to the ground, a small distance away, where he dies. Aww. To this day, when lightning storms arise in the east, people know that Kagara and Haunu are still fighting.
Ooh, still?
Yeah.
Wow. Good for them. I thought one of them died, but...
Well, eventually, they both die eventually. So then, but their spirits continue fighting in the east.
Oh, now that makes sense. I'm on board again.
Good. Welcome.
Thanks. Wow. Okay. That's really interesting. Also, shout out to you for really putting in a valiant effort.
Thanks.
With these pronunciations. So you're doing amazing.
Thank you.
As far as I can tell.
So most of what I'm talking about is tied to South Africa, the country, but some of these beliefs and traditions span across more of Southern Africa. So think of Zambia and everything south of it, and then mostly to the east, if you're looking at a map. Also, if I refer to the Nguni people, this includes different tribes, such as the Xhosa, the Zulu, and the Mpondo. So you can think of the Nguni as an umbrella term for many different tribes who spoke the same language.
Okay.
But the tribes themselves were distinct.
Yes.
And additionally, the San people, known commonly as Bushmen, they didn't speak the Nguri language, but they did interact with these various tribes, and so there are some overlaps in their beliefs. So it's really similar to yours with the Native American tale. There's a lot of different approaches to this, and it's also shared through oral histories. So same things that Stacey said, you can apply this here.
Ditto.
So Southern Africa is diverse. And South Africa, the country alone, has 11 official languages.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. And still, there are some commonalities among all of these communities. As Professor Johannes Harnischweger writes, almost every Zulu, Xhosa, or Venda person in South Africa knows that witches have the power to send lightning, kill livestock, or burn houses, including the inhabitants.
Oh, witches are back, baby!
Witches are back. And I do want to point out for this area that witches can be both male and female.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. You can like that part.
Oh, do I not?
Tell me at the end.
Oh, okay.
No, it's good. I mean, I'm always glad.
I was going to say, gender inclusivity.
Yes, it's always good. So the story of Kagara and Haunu is illustrative of a few key beliefs of many of the tribes of Southern Africa, namely that some people are witches and that lightning is deadly.
Okay.
And I promise you this will end up with a lightning bird.
Okay. I can't wait.
Okay, but first we're going to talk about witches in Southern Africa.
Yay!
Okay, so in general, witches use magic for evil.
I guess if you are a Christian.
No. According to these beliefs. So these non-Christian. Although interesting that you bring that up, because with colonization, there was kind of a shift too in their beliefs around witchcraft and sorcery. But even without all of that, witches, the specific witches, are evil. So they do it for evil. So this is why coining clairvoyants, diviners, or herbalists, witch doctors, is somewhat of a misnomer for most Southern African tribes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like the term witch here,
yes,
is describing a person that uses malevolent magic.
Yes.
Okay.
So diviners are a type of sorcerer called upon by their ancestors to become magic. And this shows up as a series of symptoms called thwasa. And people going through thwasa usually become withdrawn, have nightmares, and might even lose consciousness randomly. And not everyone is happy to be called into the diviner, way of life. But refusal to do so can anger the ancestors and lead to insanity, deformity, or death.
Ooh, like death lightning.
Yeah, like the black lightning. So the way people view the negative events in their life can be tied to the type of magic that they see as responsible for these events.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So traditional belief sees the challenges in life coming from angry or disappointed ancestors, not from a place of malice, but more from a place of sadness, and usually in response to certain customs being ignored.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yes, that's exactly what the ancestors are doing.
It's like the Thunderbird, like being all happy when you're doing good deeds, and then like,
dropping an orca on you when you're not.
Yes, and shooting lightning from its eyes.
Yes. So that's divination. And so where divination comes from the ancestors, the ability to be a witch is passed down from parents.
Oh.
But after, like, you have the proclivity for witchiness, you get to pick if you're going to, like, be it or not. So unlike the other sorcery that's marked by thwasa, this is like, you have the ability to it. Are you going to witch out or not?
Okay.
Okay. There's some choice.
Oh, okay.
So, but still, witches are evil in this interpretation of them.
So you're going to choose the dark side or the light side?
Yes. Well, and you can't, it's not like one person can pick to be a witch or a diviner. I don't know if there are people who have that choice of both, but diviners are chosen by your ancestors, and then witches are like born into it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
So witches cause bad things to happen out of a sense of envy, hatred, and malice. And these bad things come solely from the witch, not from the ancestors. So like other sorcerers, they do use potions, but theirs are poisonous. And unlike other sorcerers, witches have familiars. Do you know what a familiar is?
I'm familiar with the term, but why don't you go ahead and tell me anyway?
A familiar is a little buddy. Yeah, it's a little buddy that like witches that. Have. I don't know. How would you describe it?
Would it be like how like the witches that I talked about in the Halloween episode would have like a black cat?
Yeah,
that you know is their little buddy and goes around with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or like when we talked about in the Illuminati episode, the owl pal.
Yes. Uh-huh. And generally they're connected in some mystical way and like they can kind of work mm-hmm. together when need be and you know whatever. So witches have those. And witches can also control lightning.
Oh, good for them.
Let's talk about lightning.
Okay, let's do it.
Like our belief in conspiracies, lightning in Eastern Southern Africa is no joke. According to the South African Weather Service, at any one given time, there are approximately 2,000 thunderstorms in progress around the world, resulting in up to 5 million flashes a day. South Africa can account for up to 10% of the global daily statistics.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Just South Africa.
South Africa, the country.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Most of the 10% occur in Eastern South Africa. So there's like this pocket where a lot of these tribes who have lightning birds in their lore come from. So lightning related deaths are 4 times higher than the national average in this zone.
Oh, I mean, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So because they live in such a lightning prone zone, Southern African tribes have taken precautions since like as far back as we can tell against lightning. So here's some of them. Because lightness is the color of sky, anything white or light-colored is covered up or removed when clouds gather, as is anything reflective. So you'd be covered up. They'd be like, oh, cover Stacy.
Oh, yeah. They'd be like, get that bitch underground. She's going to kill us all with her whiteness. It's so white. She's reflecting. I'm a lightning rod.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I love it.
People also use specific plants to protect themselves. I don't know which ones, but some plants.
Another installment of Not My Fucking Job.
Not My Fucking Job. Oh my God. Tiffany sent me a picture the other day, and she's like, this is real. And it was a plant that looked like a penis. And it was, and she said that it was like it ate bugs. So it was a carnivorous plant.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this isn't real. And I was like, you know how gullible I am. And I need you to tell me the God honest truth. Is this real? And she's like, yes, it is. And it is. It is flower that looks exactly like a penis.
Exactly like a penis.
It is disconcerting. All penises are disconcerting. But when it's like actually a flower, it's even disconcertinger.
I was going to say, I hope I never encounter this flower in the wild. Because think of all the jokes that would be made if you're like looking at flowers and you go to sniff a flower and it's one that looks like a penis.
And then like,
guys,
a bug comes crawling out of it.
Oh God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. We need to move on. We need to move on immediately. Talk to me about lightning.
Okay. Another practice is to bury medicated pegs around the homestead. I'm not talking about pegging. So this is this is going off the rails.
Oh gosh, I was going to say, are you going to make the joke? I don't want to. Are we going to let it go? No, not at Fake Believe.
No, that's it. Just avert your eyes and make the pegging joke and then keep going. So these pegs have been coated with a medicine made by the Umgoma, which is loosely and disputedly translated as witch doctor. Because you know what I said about. So to protect the house from lightning, they do this. Some Zulu tribes specifically also use lightning stones, which can come from a larger rock that has been struck by lightning.
Ooh, that's – I just was like, oh, shiny rock. Like, I don't know why. Like, it doesn't have to be shiny, but just like cool rock. Yeah. That just made me really excited. It filled me with joy.
The lightning stones. Yes. There's some cool – if you Google it, you'll see some pretty things.
I will.
Okay. So they bury this stone peg right outside their huts at the foot of the right doorpost, along with a special charm. And then once it's placed, the Umgoma also coat the lightning stones with medicine.
Okay.
So this is also cool. Many tribes also have at least one Inyanga Yezulu, which literally translates to Doctor of the Sky, but who's most often referred to as a heaven herd, H-E-R-D. Like okay. a heaven herder, we would say, but like a heaven herd. Yeah. So these men, they're always men, are trained to herd the sky so nothing breaks out from it.
So I got a little lost. Are mm-hmm. these like actual flesh and blood people
yes.
that are okay. So they're like doing their best to make sure.
Yeah, so they go through training. And so they're not sorcerers exactly, because anyone can be a heaven herder. I mean, kind of. You have to have proven that the sky has called you. And this is usually by showing that you've had a near-death experience with lightning and escaped, and so the sky has been calling you.
Oh, man. If that's like your dream to be a heaven herder, your calling is a little intense there.
Yeah, it's
like, oh, I hope I almost get struck by lightning today.
But better to be in tents than out of a tent in the middle of a rainstorm.
I bet if anybody like wanted to be a heaven herder, they would ask me to walk around with them all the time.
Uh-huh.
So I would attract lightning.
Oh, that's a good idea for a story. Just like,
yeah, you're totally my best friend. And I love listening to you ramble on and on about penis flowers. Come with me. Let's go.
Let's take a walk.
Let's take a walk. It looks like it's going to rain.
Okay. People are running up and trying to cover you with a sheet. And he's like, no. It's cool.
No. Trust me. I'll take her away. It's fine. Yeah, she won't be near you. And I was just like, da-da-da. Let me do my Valley Girl voice.
Oh, come on, lightning. Can't come fast enough.
Maybe I just wanted to strike me. I don't even care at this point.
So once that's happened, once you've been struck and they've escaped, they'll then go through a ritualistic training where they learn how to make lightning medicine.
Ooh, so when the lightning gets sick.
No.
Oh.
It's preventative care.
Okay.
It's probably the same medicine that's used for the pegs. That they medicate and bury. So, which are not always made by heaven herders. Those are made by the sorcerers who have, you know, been called with a thwasa. But so in this way, the heaven herder does share some attributes with, you know, diviners and with witches, because witches can also make these potions. So the first five ingredients are fats from various creatures of this potion or medicine. And the first ingredient is fat from the Impundulu or the lightning bird.
Oh, there we go.
Told you I'd get there.
We made it.
We did. We're here. One thing I want to make clear is that the lightning bird shows up in two separate and distinct ways for the Nguni. And some of the information I found outside of peer-reviewed journals seem to conflate these two ideas. So if you go on your little search, because you're interested in this, just be careful. There's been a lot of, bad reporting, because they're not the same.
All right.
So the first manifestation of a lightning bird, of a lightning board.
Oh, you did it too! It's hard.
The first manifestation of a lightning bird is simply...
At first I was like, oh gosh, is she okay? It sounds like she's saying first, but what is that? First. Okay, fun fact though about people in St. Louis, Missouri, apparently they say like four weird. So like you go on Highway Farty Far.
Oh, that sounds kind of like Dakotan.
Yeah, or like if you want to get something to eat your spaghetti with, you go grab a fark.
So if you're building like a structure in your backyard, are you
like a tree fart?
Yeah.
A pillow fart.
I mean, we're all familiar with those.
I think we are.
It also sounds, I guess, like Minnesota. A Minnesotan accent, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Are you guys close to there? Is Missouri close to Minnesota?
Not really.
I don't know geography.
Neither do I. It's okay.
Okay.
I'm not claiming I do. We might be, and I'm just lying. I've lived here most of my life. I just might not know.
That's totally fine. It's not like a lightning bird's going to come and strike you for lying.
Right. I'm just misinformed, lightning bird.
Give me a break. So the first type of lightning bird is just a bird associated with lightning, or sometimes it is the lightning itself. Like it kind of becomes, lightning becomes a bird.
Oh.
And this one is tied to the ancestors or the Lord of the Sky. So that's the first type. The second type is the familiar of a female witch.
Okay.
Okay. So not all lightning birds are bad, but guess which one is really bad?
Is it the witch one?
Yes. And
oh, no.
While both men and women can be witches, only a woman witch can have a lightning bird.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, queen.
Yes. And this familiar is shape-shifting, so it's not the same as the regular bird. And the regular bird is a neutral party, just kind of either a force of nature, a force of ancestry, or a force of God, whereas the witchy bird is evil. Evil, evil, evil. Bad guy. So okay. We're going to start with the good guy or the neutral guy.
Okay. And this good guy would also know that I am not that misinformed, and Minnesota is actually two states above Missouri.
Nice.
Iowa is in between. So
good. So you have not.
It took me a second to remember which one that one was. I was like, what is that state above us? I should know this, but I was put on the spot. So I literally had a look.
I thought Illinois was above you.
It's kind of, but it's like to the right and a little bit above, but it overlaps.
Oh.
So, like, I'm in St. Louis where it, like, jets out uh-huh. into part of Illinois. But, like, if you go further north in Missouri, mm-hmm. it's where it gets, like, the flatter part of the
uh-huh.
shape of the state. Uh-huh. And above the flatter part is Iowa.
Okay. I just remember when your DoorDash burrito was going to Chicago or whatever, to Illinois.
Well, yeah, that's because St. Louis borders Illinois. But it's like, on the side.
Yeah, okay.
I keep saying to the right, and I'm meaning that as if you're like looking at a map.
Yeah, that's east. Right is east. Duh. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. And I literally said north earlier. Can't tell you about east. So there's that.
No, you meant up.
Things are really going well here.
Yeah, well, because we're on the nihilism train, so it don't matter.
Yes, choo-choo, nothing matters.
So if you see a lightning bird as a regular bird with lightning tendencies, you're probably thinking of the hammer cop. So it's a real bird associated with lightning, and he's adorable, related to pelicans, and its head is shaped like a hammer.
Yeah, like goofy looking buddy.
Yes, he's so cute. And maybe this little hammerhead comes in handy because they are nest artisans, like chef's kiss nest builders. Mm-hmm. They keep adding to their nest, which can get up to 440 pounds. That's one Shaquille O'Neal plus one Shaq clone that has been fully dehydrated.
Oh. Okay. Sorry, that description got
me. Yeah, it's pretty gross.
I don't know. Something about a clone being dehydrated. That's just, it freaked me out.
Yeah, did it make you a little scared?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I'm thinking about that. As a testament to the hammer cop's building skills, other creatures like snakes, owls, and monitor lizards often sublet the nest. So these are also creatures that are met with suspicion in this area. So even though the hammer cop is adorable and its nest is spacious and well-designed, you better watch out if you mess around with it because you will either get struck by lightning if you don't – or you'll get bitten by, like, a monitor lizard or, you know, a snake or whatever.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, leave them alone.
Yeah.
Don't come into their house.
Exactly. But also, if it flies over your house is going to get struck by lightning.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
hate when that happens. You came to my house this time.
That, so you must, maybe you angered the gods somehow. You didn't follow customs.
Oh, you said that Illinois was the state above Missouri?
Mm-hmm. Hammer cop time.
Watch out, Rachel.
That was not intentional. Do you know that MC Hammer's, I believe MC Hammer's album was the first rap album to go diamond?
Oh, I didn't.
Okay, anyways.
But I'm glad to hear it. Good for you. It's a hammer cop. I didn't mean to. Sure.
I really didn't.
I think a lightning bird's going to strike you now.
No, I didn't.
You liar. Okay. All right. Fine.
We're going to move away from the hammer cop because there's other real life birds also associated with lightning.
Okay.
Including the bachelor eagle, the ground hornbill, and you're going to be so fucking surprised by this one. The owl.
Oh, that bitch. Not again.
They're everywhere.
Stop showing up at our stories, owls.
We can't help it because they're...
With your creepy legs.
You nosy ass owls.
Yeah. From alien planes. I don't know.
He's got to be up in everything and up in everyone's business.
Yeah. Stricken lightning. How dare you. Rude.
So these birds, lightning birds, can also take on a more supernatural air when they're out doing their lightning thing. So here's an eyewitness account of a lightning strike on someone's hut. Looking, I saw the thing. It was fearful to see and moved very quickly, but I saw it clearly. It was a bird. The feathers were white, burning. The beak and the legs were red with fire. And the tail was something else, like burning green or the color of the sky. It ran quickly, saying nothing, simply snatching those whom it took. Then it touched the grass with fire.
Ooh, that's a very detailed account. I love it. And I also like how both of our, how both of the quotes that we pulled from eyewitness accounts, they're like, yeah, I know, like, that it could be weird, but, like, I know what I saw.
Yeah.
So... This is what I saw, and you need to fucking back off.
Right. Listen up.
A goddamn owl lit my house on fire.
I just imagined the owl with a Tootsie Pop getting into a fight with Smokey the Bear about, like,
oh no,
only you can prevent forest fires. And then, like, instead of, like, a Tootsie Pop,
punches the owl.
It's like a cigarette. And so then he's like, and he drops it, and then there's the punching. Because Smokey's like, yes. I'm sorry, Smokey Bear. And then, not Smokey Bear.
Yeah, and then they look to the side, mm-hmm. and then there's a thunderbird fighting a whale. And they're like, God damn it, this forest is doomed. No.
So other beliefs are that the lightning bird descends when it thunders, or maybe even the thunder is from its beating wings. And that lightning is its shit.
Oh!
So,
okay.
That would take the whole shitting on your car thing into much more extreme territory.
Oh, my God. Oh, damn it. I got bird shit on my hut. Now it's on fire. Yeah.
So these birds might also use lightning to mark where they've laid their eggs. And where they've laid their eggs will then have fairy circles growing around them. And those are usually made of mushrooms.
Oh, see, I was going to say, like, I wonder if it's marking as in, like, it actually touches down, like the lightning actually strikes something. Mm-hmm. But maybe that is what it's kind of saying. And then the mushrooms grow around it.
Yeah. And then that way you know where their eggs are. So if you're feeling mean-spirited, you can dig up these eggs and then use them to make a concoction and then trick your enemies into drinking this concoction. And then they'll get struck by lightning.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. You can't go dig up lightning bird eggs. That's so mean. And then it's also mean to put it into a concoction. And then it's also mean to give it to somebody so that they would get struck by lightning.
All of it's mean.
There's just so many chances to not be a shitty person or a lightning person or whatever. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you can, but maybe you shouldn't, but maybe you should. Choo-choo!
All right, we'll leave it at that.
Because fat from a lightning bird is one of the main ingredients in lightning medicine, the Heaven Herd is tasked with capturing these birds. So to do this, he'll put amasi, which is a type of sour milk, in a bowl on a hilltop. He'll wait for the bird to go to it, and then he rushes up and kills the bird. And then uses the fat to, you know, one of the many fats that he uses for his medicine.
Okay.
Lightning medicine sounds pretty delicious.
Yeah, why does it?
Nice savory, nice umami flavor. Mm.
Just look at my chops over here like, ooh, I need some preventative care. Does my insurance cover lightning medicine?
Oh, it's like that, the antibiotics that you used to have as a kid, like the pink stuff. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Bubblegum flavor.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I always ended up having grape flavor, so like I hate things that are grape flavored now, and the kids that would have cherry flavored medicine hate cherry flavored things.
Oh, so I had bubblegum flavored antibiotics and grape flavored cough medicine, and I still love bubblegum and grape and candy corns.
Oh, well, there you go. You're just an anomaly. I don't know what to describe you as.
So finally, lightning from this type of lightning bird is in some tribes thought to be sent by the Lord of the Sky himself, and he sends it because he wishes to have a human. This is kind of a bummer because that means that you can't mourn for a person killed by lightning, because then that would be seen as arrogant by the Lord of the Sky. So
because it wanted a human?
He wanted, yeah. The Lord of the Sky wanted a human. Mm-hmm.
So you can't be sad that,
and you can't perform any of those rituals for that person.
Oh, gosh. Can we pick this back up? Can we get it back to being fun?
Yes, because I'm going to take it now to the evil witchy bird.
Okay, let's go there. R.I.P.
He's the Impandulu, or in some tribes referred to as the Insaka Yatulu. I'm going to refer to him as the Impandulu because that's the terminology that I see most frequently. So this little buddy is one of the most common and the most powerful, thus most feared, familiar, which is familiar.
Where have I heard that before?
About 2 minutes ago on this podcast called Fake Believe. So in bird form, its wings create thunder, and this one for sure poops lightning. Witch.
For sure.
Yes. And the witch can control this. So imagine a couple things, listener and Stacey. Imagine one, being able to control someone's pooping schedule. And then also imagine, like, okay, so my question for you, actually, if you had to choose, would you rather shit lightning or not be in charge of when you take a shit, but it's regular shit?
I'd rather shit lightning. I don't want anybody controlling me. You don't own me.
I think I also would rather shit lightning.
Oh, you're trying to control me? I'm going to shit on your lawn. And by that, I mean I'm going to set it on fire.
But that does beg the point, because most people shit at least once a day. Okay.
Yeah.
How would you handle that?
I would have to either consult a witch or a scientist, one of the two, and find a way to either harness the energy or find a very sturdy toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd probably have to learn something about precious science and like conductivity of certain.
One of those people that can't poop in public, but you're like, no, seriously, like, I can't poop in public.
It's not you. It's
like,
me.
I can't hold it anymore. You run to the bathroom and it's just.
What's like, happening Jesus. In there?
Are you okay? Yeah. You should have known better. You shouldn't have had candy corn for lunch. My bad. Your stomach just can't take it. But at least I get to control when I shit.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you got to look at the bright side of your shit lightning.
You always have to look at the positives.
So remember that only female witches get to have this familiar. And
oh, I remember.
Yes. And like the proclivity for witchiness, they get their birds from their moms. So this is going to get a little weird.
So, like, is the bird immortal?
Yes.
Or... Okay.
It is.
Okay.
Which, so here, I'll leave you to do this deductive reasoning, okay? So the Impendulu is a bird, comes down from a mom, lives forever. But the Impendulu is a shapeshifter. Now, and you knew that. But what you don't know is that they typically shapeshift into a handsome young man. And this handsome young man definitely has sexy times with his witch. So we,
okay.
So that means that this Impendulu had sex with, like, the witch's mom and the witch's grandma. And the witch's great grandma. Like,
and then the witch.
Yeah. Ugh. So
what a whore that bird is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad that you cut me off before. No, you didn't cut me off, but I'm so glad that you kept talking before I could say, man, my mom never gave me a bird. And then I'd be like, oh, yeah, I don't want one from her. I'm fine.
Thanks, but no. But it's funny because we do flip the bird quite often. Your mom and I do.
Well, that's different. Yeah. I mean, that one is passed down from generation to generation, but we have our own.
Yeah. And it's totally different.
Sometimes we pass it to, like, the same generation, like, just for fun.
Right, right.
But, yeah.
Does your mom flip you the bird the way she flips me the
bird? Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. We are constantly doing it. And she always acts like if one of us does it, she's like, oh, my gosh. But we're like, Mom, you're the one that flips us off the most. And I love watching her flip off her sisters and brother when her mom's around.
Uh-huh. We try to hide it from mom.
Trying to hide it.
Yeah.
It's great.
It is
fun. It's a good time.
I like it. So that's a much, I think, a much healthier sharing of bird flipping among families than this one. Mm. But the thing is...
Yeah, I mean, this one comes with a lot of weird implications.
It does.
And, you know.
It really does.
A lot of emotions get tied up. Uh-huh. It's really weird. Also, you never want to be compared to your mom.
No. Jesus. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Okay.
So the thing is, like, this is quite the conundrum because... If you do have an Impendulu, you pretty much have to give it to your daughter because an Impendulu that isn't taken possession of becomes what's called an Ishogulu, which is an ownerless monster that causes unfettered chaos.
Oh, gosh. Like me unsupervised at the store.
Yes. You are like an ownerless monster. You are an Ishogulu.
Okay.
So.
I really connect with the Ishogulu.
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 Yeah,
shoot.
You do. So you just gotta, yeah, I mean, I don't know. So it's like, that's their choice. It's like, do I take this thing that has fucked all of my ancestors? Or do I just cut it loose and then create this ownerless monster of chaos?
Oh, okay. So that kind of makes sense as to it being a choice or not and passing it down. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the other thing that's, like, getting me off track is I keep thinking, like, how would this work, like, if you had a sister? Like, I don't have a sister, so I would just automatically get the lightning bird, mm-hmm. and, like, that's cool. But, like, you have two sisters, so is it, like, oldest sister, or is it, like, the witchiest sister? Like, to be like, listen, I know that you are gonna fuck up this witch shit, because you're a nihilist, so not even dealing with you, but you're a son of a witch.
Yes.
And daughter of a witch.
I think that it would probably be, like, the witchiest one, because, you know, it is a choice. And in that case, I do believe that I would be the person to get the lightning bird in that instance because my sisters are super duper sweet. Like, they're the sweetest women in the whole world. So, like, by default, right. I'm the witch.
I know, but then that means that I don't have the chance to be the witch because you took it from me.
That's true. But maybe I could release it and it could become an Ishogulu and then you could capture it.
And then I could take it and I'd be like, you're no longer an ownerless bird, but you could still be chaotic because that's my vibe.
Yeah.
Let's go to a grocery store.
Let's go to Costco and get some samples.
Yes! We'll come back and we'll get seconds. We don't even have to pay for this.
See? Chaos.
I don't even pay for the membership. I borrowed this from my mom because she didn't give me a lightning bird.
Unfettered chaos. That is what you are spiraling into right now. So, anyway, this bird, the Impundulu, in his handsome young man form, is like across the stories of the tribes, he's usually dressed in a gray suit.
Oh, I like that. Dapper.
Yeah. But listen to this. He's also often a white man.
Oh.
So.
Well, now I'm losing interest.
Well, I find this really interesting because remember, they're evil. So it's like in Southern Africa, like I'm guessing this is probably a belief that occurred after the colonization or while like that.
Yeah.
Which I found that very interesting. So also sometimes he can be seen riding a hyena backwards. So some witches can shapeshift into hyenas. And when witches ride their shapeshifting familiars, not just Impundulus, but like the other things that they have, they also ride them backwards. So riding things backwards, reverse cowgirl. Sorry, I looked. Ew, I said I had eye contact when I said it this time. Normally I look away.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. But now I'm.
So now you're like ashamed of it. Yeah. But if we weren't making eye contact, you would have been fine.
Yes. So now I'm looking away while we finish this joke. But so writing in reverse is a typical like witch thing. And so this handsome young man in a gray suit can be riding a hyena backwards.
That's kind of funny, especially because how the Thunderbird can, in some legends, can shapeshift into a boy and speak backwards.
That's always is mind-boggling to me when I see these similar threads from different continents.
Yeah, these cultures had no impact on each other when developing this legend and this history and this lore.
Right, which tells me it's true.
Yeah, especially like because the Thunderbird gets its name because when it flaps its wings, it makes the sound of thunder. Yeah. But then also lightning's associated with it. But then there's a lightning bird that also flaps its wings and sounds like thunder.
Yeah. So with this guy, if someone irritates the witch, the handsome young man will ask, "Why are you irritating my witch?" And then he turns back into the bird and then kicks the offender to death. So I found it interesting that the kicking to death occurs in bird form.
Yeah.
So some believe that the kicking also causes sickness, like tuberculosis symptoms. And so it's not necessarily like the physical power of the kicks that do you in, but it's the magic behind them. Same as with the Rockettes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously. I've personally never been kicked by a Rockette because I haven't irritated their witch.
Right.
So. I have to say, though, if I had a lightning bird, it would always be asking people,
why are you irritating my witch?
like, she's overstimulated. It's really not your fault, but because she's upset about too many noises, it's your fault. I'm going to kick you to death. You're one of the noises you're contributing to it, and I don't appreciate it. Kick, motherfucker.
Yeah. So they don't always die, too. So sometimes it's a long illness that can occur from it. But also what can cause these illnesses, particularly stabbing pains, coughing, shortness of breath, are also the fact that the Impundulu is a vampire. So not like a real vampire, but it has vampirism. It's a bloodsucker. And so when it sucks your blood, it can obviously kill you, but it can also cause miscarriages or make you go blind. And it does this to people and to livestock.
Oh, that blows.
Yeah.
And it's funny, too, that your story, like, just takes our Halloween episode. Just like, I know. Let's put both of these in there.
I know. It's got witches and vampires and stuff in it. So.
That's so cool. But also it sucks. Ah! I had to get another one in there. But oh my gosh. So would it, I guess I shouldn't ask you, but I'm wondering if it's like, if the animals are annoying the witch, and so it has to do that to the animals,
no,
or what?
It's not just about that, because the Impundulu himself also has desires and wants, and he's like totally obsessed with blood.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
Exactly. He loves it so much, and this means that sometimes his witch is driven to murder in order to obtain blood for her Impundulu, even if she's given him sunlight or given him rain. Looks like he's not happy unless she opens a vein.
Oh no! She's just trying to run her little shop of horrors, and then now she has to go kill someone.
Yeah, just to feed her Impundulu. Because she's obviously not going to give him her own vein, you know?
No.
So.
But, yeah, she only has so much.
Yeah. You gotta just.
You can't pour from an empty cup, okay?
No, you can't. This has been your mental health awareness.
Don't give your blood to an infant.
Yeah. So when blood's not available, Impundulu also love themselves some milk. Okay. So this connection was not made in anything I read specifically, but it does make sense to me why heaven herders would lure the other type of lightning bird with amasi, or the sour milk, mm-hmm. because a love of milk, it could cross these the manifestations of lightning bird.
I get that.
Yeah. So if your milk is going missing, you're probably being targeted by an Impundulu. If your milk cereal are going missing, you're probably being targeted by Mikey, because Mikey likes it.
That one went over my head. I'm sorry.
You're too young. That's for the boomers and the Gen Xers out there.
And the Gen Xers.
Yeah.
You're welcome, guys. I don't get it.
Well, trust me, Stacey. It was very funny.
I'm sure it was. You know, if I was older, I'd be laughing.
Well, it's about the cereal called Life. Speaking of life, Impundulu don't just destroy life. They can also help create it.
Ooh, I love your segues.
They're really good.
So how do they create life?
Well, a woman can get impregnated by an Impundulu.
Oh, God.
But don't worry. God. Like, it's not going to be the Impundulu is not going to be the witch's dad. So it's not going to be
good.
Like that.
I was like, oh, no, Rachel, enough. Let's shut this down. No. Thank God.
Because when you get impregnated, not you. Specifically, when one becomes impregnated by an Impundulu, their children will be birds.
Oh! So you're like giving birth, and then you hear, gah!
And you're like, ah.
Oh, bye! It's time for my baby bird to leave the nest.
Oh, no, just push him out. And like, faster than you would, like, a human child, I think. I think you gave birth to a bird like that and be leaving the nest.
Well, I guess because we're mammals, we do live birth. But if it's a bird, would we lay an egg?
No. You give live birth to a bird.
It's a live birth. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now that makes sense.
Yeah. Glad I could clear that up for you.
Thank you.
But let me offer this warning to you and to other young women. If you see a handsome, or anybody who's into dudes, if you see a handsome white man in a gray suit riding a hyena backwards, as charming as this sounds, don't fall for it. Okay.
I do often find myself in those situations.
I know.
And every time I'm like, Stacey, don't.
Because you could have a chicken for a baby.
I don't want that.
You could get your blood sucked.
Don't want that either.
You could like get struck by lightning. There's just so many bad things. Well, okay.
I can't avoid that though, because I am a lightning
true.
Rod.
That's
so.
True. But luckily for us squirrel friends, only women can see the Impundulu's true form. So just look carefully at that gray-suited hyena cowboy before you toss that lasso.
So we can see him and be like, oh, it's It's not an infundilu. It's just a
hyena cowboy.
Stray-suited cowboy.
Yeah.
A hyena cowboy.
Right.
Let's get it on.
Right, but if you do get it on and he's just a regular human, you still got to be aware of Impendulu because another annoying habit of theirs is stealing children and carrying them away.
Ah, oh, that's so annoying. Oh my God.
Okay, the last story I'll tell you is one from the Baka tribe. So they believe that the Insaka Yetulu, which is their lightning bird, can actually be sent via a letter. So you can mail, so what you do is you mail the essence, a witch does. She mails the essence of her familiar in a letter. And then so, like, you open the letter and you give it a read and then you hear, like, oh, you open your door and it's a man in a gray suit. And you're like, what? How did you get here? And then he gestures at his hyena and then he's like, oh, yeah, can I offer you a glass of trash? And he says, oh, no, I'm not a raccoon. And then you watch in horror as he shapeshifts into a bird and then it fades to black because the story is from your point of view and you have just been kicked to death.
I was definitely going to make a raccoon joke. I'm so glad you knew to do it. I love the thought of getting the postal service involved. Like, is this a federal crime?
I don't even know how that works in South Africa.
I know. I was going to say U.S. Postal Service, but no, it's not the thing. It's just my perspective. If I were to mail that, or if somebody were to mail that to me.
Yeah, to the States. And then, like, where does the crime, at what point does the crime occur?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many questions, but I would try to offer a gray-suited man with a hyena a glass of trash because I'd be like, this must be a raccoon in disguise. This, like, they've gone way beyond cartography and they are
hyena wranglers.
Fashionistas. And hyena wranglers.
Fashionista hyena wranglers. That's the new raccoon vocation.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so then your story is done because you just got mailed this letter.
Yeah, at that point.
That seems to me, it seems unfair. It should be harder to send an Impendulu than that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe it's because, like, it's so hard to find the stamps in your stamp drawer. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I don't have a stamp drawer anymore. I never mail things. And then you're like, shit, now I have to go to the post office and get my stamps. And so then it's like, oh, man, all this just to mail the essence, whatever that means, of my Impendulu to my enemy.
Yeah.
They literally live next door to me. All I had to do was just bring it to them.
But if she's a witch, then they're not going to answer the door and they're going to, like, avoid her. So, like, if it's a letter, then, like, it's oh, what's this cool? Because it's always fun to receive letters in the mail.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Listeners, mail me a letter. I'm not going to give you my address.
But not the essence of an Impendulu, no. But just mail a letter and just guess her address and send it.
Who am I kidding? Our listeners know my address.
Yeah, because it's only people we know.
If you don't know my address, get it from Stacey.
Yeah, I remember it.
You have it written down somewhere, don't you, so you can mail me stuff?
Of course I do.
I'm not convinced. I remain unconvinced.
Why aren't you convinced? Well, let me just offer you a glass of trash in your time of need.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do your research, Stacey, and find my address.
No!
So, in conclusion, witches have a bad rap, and to this day, okay, I'm going to bring it down a little bit, okay, because people are still murdered because of suspected witchcraft, even though the government of South Africa has been trying to quell it. So this I found interesting. It's kind of away from the lightning bird, but I wanted to share that in 1957, the government of South Africa passed the Witchcraft Suppression Act, and it made it illegal to do any of the following. Accuse somebody of being a witch or of using witchcraft to cause harm. Say that you have used or know how to use witchcraft to cause harm. Employ somebody to find a witch, act on the advice of a witch in a way that is calculated to cause harm, or use witchcraft to find something that has been stolen or lost. Second, I'm on board with all of them except for the last one. But, like, you can see they're, like, it's illegal to accuse somebody of being a witch. Because then that leads to death and stuff. So they really, really tried. I don't know about why you're not allowed to use witchcraft to find something.
I just don't know why it's, like, it's illegal to accuse somebody of being a witch and not it's illegal to kill somebody for being a witch. Or
I think that was probably covered in other, like, you know, other laws. And so this one was kind of starting it at the source of, like, because accusing somebody of that could lead to murder. And I think murder was probably already illegal by 1957.
Okay.
So
hopefully.
But everything is, like, about, like, don't do this to cause harm. Like, they're still kind of giving people the leeway to practice their witchcraft or their divination, except for this last one about finding something that's been stolen or lost. I don't know. There's just, like,
I know. Like, if I was a good witch, like, or good at being a witch, and I had the ability to, like, find, like, my keys and stuff, I'm very bad at just, like, setting things down and totally forgetting where they are. So, like, I'd be, like, conjuring up the stuff that I lost, but then I'd be, like, in jail or fined. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's the consequence?
I didn't look it up. But I did look it up. I didn't write it down. The consequences vary. They can be like from fines up to jail time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So then I was right.
Yeah, you were right. So despite these laws that have been in the books for over 60 years, people are still forced to flee their homes after being accused of witchcraft. There's a village called Ebatsakatsini with a population of about 600 all accused witches who fled for their own safety. Oh. So I'm going to go ahead and be critical of this particular insistence that witches are evil, even though I'm a white person. I'm going to go ahead and be critical of that. So,
yeah, live. Go ahead.
Thank you. If you suspect that a witch is readying her lightning bolts, just grab some muthi, which is a traditional medicine, have the heaven herder place some medicated pegs around your home, and stay on her good side. Of course, you never know who might be a witch and who might possess the fearsome and deadly Impundulu. So I guess, just to be safe, go ahead and treat all women with kindness and respect.
Wow, I never thought about it that way before.
Because she could be a witch and she could be able to control lightning. So just stay, you know, just in case. Just be respectful.
Yeah, so only respect them out of fear and not because you see them as an equal.
No,
human being.
That's asking way too much, Stacey.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh my gosh, good job.
Thanks. Sorry, I did go a little bit off the rails at the end there, but so.
No, I think it's fine. I mean, we have to have a lot of context because we're not a part of these cultures, so we don't know exactly what the connections are.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And oh my gosh, I just, like we were saying earlier, the fact that they both, like, kind of overlap in some cases. So cool.
That's interesting.
Oh, there's probably actually Thunderbirds now that we've done the research.
Yeah.
Like Thunderbirds, Lightning Birds. Now that we've done the research, I feel confident. So,
I do too. I'm curious though, like, how the United States government would handle Thunderbirds, like, in, you know, with the whole drones thing and the birds not being real. I wonder if those are included.
So I was thinking about that. Mm-hmm. Part of me was thinking, like, the birds in the more modern tellings that we were talking about, where it's like, that would be big enough to pick up a killer whale. Maybe, like, the government is just, like, not putting as much effort into building their Thunderbirds because that's, like, a lot of resources.
Right.
Or maybe because in some cases they're, like, godlike, they can't do anything about it.
Right.
It's like, oh, so you're going to take the land and you're going to destroy, like, the protector of this land? No, fuck you.
Yeah.
And the government's like, all right, fair enough.
Because they probably have left owls, you know. Oh, my God, a bird just flew by. Oh, my God, it's listening. Hold on. Okay, it's gone. Whew, that was close.
Okay. Okay, we might have to whisper for the rest of this.
Okay. Also, my dog's barking at something.
I heard them, yeah. They're barking at the drone.
She must be. So, but you know, because the government has left out, in my opinion, and from my research, I have determined that the government has let owls be because they are alien technology,
right?
So they've probably would have let the Thunderbirds be as well because they are from, you know, different plane or they're supernatural. So
yeah, I mean, that all makes too much sense. And bottom line, when we get down to it, we all know that this is all 100% real.
And 100% fake believe. This concludes this week's ride on the nihilism train. Choo-choo! We hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please find time to rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcasts.